teaching now and you want to stop teaching, tell me. If you're not teaching and you want to teach, tell me. And some people are just going to have to teach. Go ahead and mark in your songbooks number 552. Number 552, Have Thine Own Way. That'll be our song of invitation. And then we'll start tonight with number 18. Number 1-8, Faithful Love. We'll sing both verses.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from
now to number 168. Number 168, Glory. We've sung this a couple of times here before. Just a reminder, we sing this first section straight down the page, and then we get into verse 1. We take that ending one back to this parts part, the third line down. Sing that through into ending 2, the second verse, and then straight down to the end of the second page. Or follow me.
Do, do, so. Glory to the King of Kings. To the King of Kings.
Number 383. Number 383. Jesus, keep me near the cross. We will just go front to back with song leaders. So just keep your eyes ahead of you. Number 383, we'll sing all three verses.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And he prayed the same to my Savior lives. Because he lives. Thank you.
I guess this next song would be fitting to stand. Yeah. 452, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God.
Thank you.
to number 38. Our God
is an awesome God, He reigns from heaven above with His own power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, He reigns from heaven above with His own power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Awesome God, He reigns from heaven above with His own power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
453. 453. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stranger then, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me.
Number 76, how great thou art.
And we're going to sing the song just a little bit different than we normally do. We're going to do what's called a crescendo, where we're going to start off really soft as we start the verses. And then we're just going to get louder as we progress through the verse until we're singing loudly on the refrain. So we'll start out every verse soft, and then we'll just get louder as we go through progress. All right, let's sing.
O Lord my God, when I am also wander, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then takes my soul.
number 1018, 1018, Joy to the World. All four verses. Let's see.
Joy to the world.
My Father's throne, may God. 39, I believe. No, 334. Can't read the writing on my card. Sorry about that. I want to give you my interpretation of this song. This song we will sing mostly at the Lord's Supper, or prior to the Lord's Supper. It's speaking of the time when Jesus is in the garden. It's when He's praying the three times. It's right before Judas comes and betrays Him. And so I want you to think about that scene. I want you to think about how somber that scene is. I want you to think about that here is in the very quiet of the night is Jesus praying. His disciples are to the side. They're sound asleep. Maybe off in the very distance you hear the rattling of the Roman cohort that is about to come. And yet here is Jesus praying. What makes this song so beautiful to me is the second stanza. And it's written in, I don't know all the music terms. I got two boys that's got music degrees. I'll let them explain it. But what I know is when I read these words and I hear this song here, that there is this strain that is there. There is this shedding of the blood in the droplets. And I want us just to read the second stanza for a moment and look at the punctuation in particular. It says, "'Tis midnight." There's a semicolon. "In the garden, now the suffering Savior prays alone." Notice the punctuation that is there. Then the next line, "Even that disciple whom He loved heeds not His Master's grief and tears." Third line, "Yet he that hath in anguish knelt is not forsaken by his God. Unheard by mortals are the strains that sweetly soothe the Savior's woe." I really want to draw your attention to that section there where there is no punctuation, but we make it a punctuation. Like in the first verse we sing, "In the garden now the suffering." But the way it's written, it should be, "In the garden, take your breath," and then go, "Now the suffering Savior," so that it flows. Same thing is true in the second verse. "Even the disciples whom He loved do not take a breath," go right into the heels. Okay? Or heeds, I'm sorry. "Whom He loved heeds." The third verse. Okay? "Hath in anguish knelt is not." Don't take the breath there. And especially in the last verse where it says, "Unheard by mortals are the strains that sweetly soothe the Savior's woe." If you take a breath right after the word "strains," in my opinion, you lose the meaning of the song because you don't hear the music that comes through there. Let's don't forget that not only are the words to teach us and admonish us, but the music itself will have an effect upon us. And the author of the music really chose those notes so that we feel what Jesus is feeling. So, let's try this.
Sorry, it's 844, please. 844.
Five, six. There's a rainbow in the cloud.
There's a rainbow in the cloud.
37.
Holy, holy, holy. you'd like to turn to James chapter 4, I'm going to piggyback off of Aaron just briefly tonight to try to encourage all of us. And perhaps if someone is here tonight and is thinking very hard and seriously about making their life right with God, we would hope that you would take advantage of this opportunity tonight. My simple thought tonight to present to you is a question: what is your life? Jesus asked that question in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll turn there in just a moment. But James says in verse 13 of James chapter 4, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that.' But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." As Aaron pointed out on Sunday, it's not wrong to make a living. It's not wrong to do business. What's wrong is to leave the Lord out of it. And so at the last verse there in verse 17, he says, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." I think that connects with what it says previously. In other words, if we know that this is the way we ought to live, that we ought to put the Lord in every decision, we ought to make him our priority, we ought to think about his will first and foremost in all things, and we do not do that, then to us it is sin. So that by way of encouraging us all to keep the Lord in every decision, every choice we make. So Matthew chapter 6, keeping with our theme of trust this year, Matthew chapter 6 and beginning in verse 25, Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." What is your life? It's not food and clothing. It's not the things of this world. We just tend to focus so much on all of those things, and yet that is not really our life. Jesus says our life is the kingdom of God, and our life can be taken from us. Our life can disappear from this world. What is our life then? It's eternity. And that concept, that mindset, James says, we've got to keep first and foremost, because then we will make decisions, choices based off of that. And I think a lot of us we come to grips with our choices all the time. And those of us who have lived a long time, we look back at some of our choices and we wish we had made different ones. And sometimes we have opportunity to counsel and offer some experience, some wisdom from God's word on choices that people are making. But if you, no matter how old you are seeking the kingdom first, and you recognize that your life is not about this world, then what you will do is you'll put the Lord into every decision you make, into every choice you make, and then you will trust him like Jesus teaches you in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Look, why are you worried? Why are you anxious? I'll take care of you. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So it is a matter of trust. Once we get that concept into our mind that our life is not about this world, it's about eternity, and it's about serving the Lord in this life first and foremost, seeking first the kingdom here, we'll make good choices. We'll make good employment choices. We'll make good husband and wife choices, boyfriend, girlfriend choices, financial choices, education choices. All those choices will be filtered through that priority that our life really is God. Our life really is the kingdom. So that really is a lot of what the gospel emphasizes when we teach it. Jesus is the king, and he has a kingdom that we can be in, and we can be under his rule, and we can serve him, and then we can go to heaven when this life is over. And while we're here in this life, we can be in fellowship with him, and we can have him caring for us and protecting us. So if you know you're in sin, if you know that you're lost before God and you're not in the right relationship with God, you should do something about that. Whether it be to come forward tonight and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, or whether it be to request a study and find out what God would have you to do, or whether it would be to come forward and confess that you've been faltering and that you need prayers of the congregation. Whatever your need may be, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Have thy own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the Father, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, you live and still.
Thank you for the opportunity we had to come together this evening to sing praises to your name. And we pray that the worship that we offered you today is pleasing to you. And we also pray that we would be able to have learned something from it, that we could focus on the words that we were singing and be able to learn more about you, more about ourselves, and how we can better serve you while we're here in this world. We ask that you help us always to have the mindset that we will let you be our master, let you be our maker, that we will allow you to mold us into what you want us to be as your servants, as Christians who are in this world and lighting the way for others so we can also bring them to you. We ask that you continue to go with us, be with us as we go our separate ways now, and help us all to remember who we are so that we can be that light. We ask that you help us to be able to come back again on Sunday and be able to once again gather and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.